Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. In our second to last episode for season one of A Wholeness Podcast, today I am bringing you a conversation between myself and Dr. Leanne McAvoy. I first met Leanne back in 2021 when I was working in a salon in Bristol back in the UK known as House of Hair in St. Werburgh's. And when I first met Leanne, I was just so drawn to her by her cool, punky, bright red hair and her persona, demeanour, her energy. I just felt so drawn to Leanne, and it turned out that I ended up cutting her family's hair too. I always loved it when Leanne came in to see me because we always had such awesome conversations, and there was times where we'd just have your usual chit-chat like us hairdressers and barbers do with our clients. But with Leanne, there was always that little something that took our conversations deeper, and I really value deep, meaningful conversations, and that's something that I often got with Leanne. And of course, being a clinical psychologist, she would very much know what it is and what it means to have a deep, meaningful conversation. Over the last couple of months, I helped Leanne facilitate her 8-week mindful self-compassion course. I also was a participant of this course for me to go through the mindful self-compassion course as well. So in today's episode, we talk all things self-compassion. And I think many of us, whether we're in the hair industry or not, we generally are putting other people first and we're not looking after ourselves as much as what we could do and should do. And for me personally, I can speak on the level of serving my clients, being a barber, being a hairdresser, cutting hair for 19 years. And although I've been in another industry for that time, I've still been customer facing. I've worked in retail, I've worked in a cafe, I've been a receptionist for big corporate companies. So I've constantly been of service to others, and that can really overbear the time that I give myself. And I wonder how many of us are actually conscious and aware of how much self-compassion we give ourselves to enable us to love ourselves, to care for ourselves, to see the beauty within ourselves, and to just take a step back and go, wow, I need a bit of space, or I need to really think on this, or I need to remove myself from this situation because this isn't making me feel good. Anything like that can be self-compassion. What I love about this conversation between myself and Leanne is the knowledge and the wisdom that Leanne brings to the table. And not only that, just the general conversation between me and Leanne, it felt effortless. I feel so connected and also collected in my mind. I personally have never had therapy with Leanne, but my goodness me, she knows her stuff. I sense how she can make her clients feel when taking them through the journey of therapy. It's with a huge amount of gratitude that I bring you this episode with myself and Dr. Leanne McAvoy. I hope you enjoy and listen right to the end.
Oh my goodness. Well, firstly, how are you feeling after that 8-week self-compassion course that you've just hosted?
Oh, everyone's just so lovely, huh?
Yeah, and you get to know all these people over 8 weeks, and then that last final call It feels so awkward and weird and uncomfortable that you're saying goodbye to these people that you've just got to know for 8 weeks, and then you're just like, oh wow, we're not going to interact like this in this way ever again.
So you just have to pause and drink everybody in, drinking
I
those the
love that.
faces on the screen. And I really like the last session because I like the invitation for people to bring something, either a poem or, just a reflection. And I really enjoy that bit. You kind of really get to see another aspect of somebody, the poem that they've chosen or the
Yes.
reflection that they're making. But yeah, it's just such an honor. It's an honor to teach the course. And it just brings out the best in people, I think. It's challenging, but also, really brings out the best. So yes, the final session. And go so slowly at the beginning, and then suddenly 2 months later, the course is over. And
I'm keen to know because obviously I was cutting your hair back in, I think it would have been 20. God, this takes us back, doesn't it? This is how we got to know one another,
I could do with a haircut
you
now, Fliss. Can you send your
know?
extendable
I
arms
know. I'll
to
just
the
do it through the
UK?
screen. But it was so strange to see you at the beginning of the 8 weeks with not you, with you, with no red hair. And then when you came back 1 week with your red hair, I was like, Leanne is
He's
back in the
back.
house.
There it is.
Oh, dear me. So that would have been like 2021 to 2022. I was cutting your hair. And we had some lovely conversations. You know, I loved having you in and you sharing glimpses of your life, and then also being a psychologist and sometimes giving me some advice, or not advice, but sort of guidance based on your own knowledge and everything. And you know, I can't ever recall myself.
Did I? I can't remember doing that. Were you not giving me advice? You were giving me advice.
It wasn't necessarily advice, but I think you know, we'd have these conversations that were quite deep and meaningful, or you would give me an insight into maybe a topic that I brought up. It was never that counseling or therapist dynamic whatsoever, but I don't think I ever asked you, Leanne, how long have you been a therapist for, and where did your journey begin to become a therapist?
Gosh. So, how long have I been a therapist for? So, I think I finished my clinical psychology doctorate in 2005. So, but that was basically completing my training. But those 3 years, you practice therapy, you are on placement in different settings with different client groups. And then prior to that, you have to have a whole bunch of experience. So I worked as an assistant psychologist, I worked as a researcher. But I first, weirdly, when I was 13, I told my mum and dad I wanted to do a psychology GCSE, like 13 or 14, way too early. So they said, okay, then. So I went to a night class with my friend and I didn't finish it, but I was really interested in it. And then I did it at A level. And what really struck me was this sense of, gosh, there isn't a truth. It's not black and it's not white, that actually there's lots of different points of view and you can hold all of those at the same time. And that was a revelation to me. I can remember I'm kind of 16, 17. Gosh, there's not one way or another way. And I think that that really was what captured my interest. And as therapists, we're eternal students. So, still doing another thing, learning about something else now. And yeah, probably will be forever. So,
Yeah, absolutely. It's been pretty much all of your life. You was 13 and then you went on to being 17, 16, 17, still being interested in psychology, to then go on to become, would you be classed as a clinical psychologist or psychotherapist?
So I'm a clinical psychologist. That's my base foundation training. And then in the last 25 years, I've then studied other psychotherapies. So I'm also an EMDR therapist and an internal family systems therapist. Also, when I first qualified, I studied narrative therapy. So that's kind of systemic work. So lots of different, strands, if you like.
Would we class them as lots of different modalities? Could that be another way of explaining it as well? And then, of course, self-compassion or mindful
Mindful
self-compassion.
self-compassion.
Yes, I've got a question for you. When it comes to self-compassion, is there a difference between mindful self-compassion and simply and purely self-compassion?
So that's a really, really interesting question. And I guess mindfulness, particularly for the mindful self-compassion course, is a vehicle in which we can practice self-compassion. But I think Kristin Neff has been doing some research. So Kristin Neff is one of the inventors and defined self-compassion. I think more recently has been looking into whether we can practice self-compassion more informally. So we don't need to necessarily have the longer sitting practices. And she's been researching, is that as effective, if you like? But I think, the mindfulness element, I think it is somewhat central because all mindfulness is, it's an awareness of what's going on in the moment with some level of acceptance or without judgment. And I think it's very difficult without that space to then bring that self-compassion to whatever is happening in that moment. So you need to be aware, don't you? To respond in any way, you've got to be aware. And really, mindfulness is that awareness. It's that space, that stepping back, going, gosh, this is going on for me right now. So even though often people equate kind of mindfulness with meditation, that's one way of doing it. If we're using self-compassion in everyday life, that pausing is really important.
Absolutely. I love how you explained the mindfulness is that way of you giving yourself space to then become self-compassionate. Because I was thinking, what is the difference between mindful self-compassion and self-compassion? And partly I really didn't quite understand or get what that mindful bit was. And so for me, I was like, well, is it, for instance, that you're fully being self-compassionate to yourself, or are you passively being self-compassionate to yourself? So the way that I could envision it only was self-compassion would be you just have a bath and you give yourself half an hour to take a bit of time out. That's a version of self-compassion. But then mindful self-compassion is, for instance, you. Like you say, in a given moment when maybe you're realizing you're not feeling so great about a situation, you step back and you then tune into the situation, be aware of it and realize and go, right, what do I need right now? Do I need to do a technique or use a tool of self-compassion to help me in this instant? The state of you saying about the space, mindful bit is the space. That's a really, for me, that's a really clear vision of putting that space between yourself and maybe a situation that's going on, to allow yourself to give yourself self-compassion rather than you just being like, oh, I've had a hard day. I'm going to have a bath for half an hour, you know?
But even that, I've had a hard day. I'm going to have a bath for half an hour. That's a noticing. That's a noticing that you've got a sore neck. Or that you need some time out because it's been busy. Yeah, it's a noticing, it's mindfulness, isn't it?
I guess it's just I hadn't seen it like that actually. I think any I guess any of it really is, isn't it? Is a mindfulness and awareness around that. I guess
So,
it's also whether or not somebody knows what that they are practicing self-compassion, or whether they're not aware of practicing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we will all practice some level of self-compassion, otherwise we wouldn't be alive.
Yeah.
Know, this kind of quintessential question, really, which is the central question of self-compassion, is what do I need? What do I need right now? And if we think about, from, when we are first born as babies, we come into the world with all of these needs. And we are reliant on our caregivers to meet those needs. And if we have caregivers that can meet those needs, then generally we'll experience security, secure attachment, and we'll grow up and we'll be able to internalize being able to meet those needs for ourselves. So often with this kind of secure childhood, we will grow up to have good self-compassion. We'll be able to be with our emotions. We'll be able to know what we need. But of course, in life, we all navigate life and we'll all have these small, what I call small T traumas. No kind of caregiving is perfect, and that's a longer continuum. And some people have really difficult experiences, so they may struggle, in terms of knowing what they need. Knowing what they're feeling and being able to respond. So, really, self-compassion is a way of reparenting ourselves. It's a way of really starting to tune in to ourselves and to our bodies and to what it is that we might need and to be able to respond with kindness and softness, when we connect with the struggles and the difficult emotions and the challenges when life lifes us, which it does all the time. This is what it is to be human.
Yeah, absolutely.
Life lifing us.
I
Life
like that.
lifing us.
Life,
Yeah, it does. It's bloody
life.
hard life.
Yes, it is. And I know that
It
you
is.
said you shared about how life is hard throughout a lot of the 8 week mindful self-compassion course that you just took us through as well. And I know one of our participants said that that part of what you, when you kept on repeating that, really stuck out for them. And through you being a therapist as well, I know that you yourself would have had to have had therapy whilst becoming a therapist. And then also, the therapist needs a therapist too. So you've been, by the seams of it, been practicing self-compassion ever since you sort of got into the psychology pathway. Maybe you wouldn't have been so aware of it when you was that 13-year-old or that 16, 17-year-old, but as you went on to study psychology more so, you would have learned about self-compassion through becoming a psychologist. But what part of your journey did you really dive into self-compassion to say, you know what, I would love to learn more about self-compassion. I want to be a facilitator for a mindful self-compassionate course. Where in your journey did that come in?
Yeah, so I kind of been practicing mindfulness for a while. So I used to go to the London Buddhist Centre in my early 20s, and I'd been on a few retreats, and I'd co-facilitated some mindfulness-based cognitive therapy groups, which is another 8-week program. And really enjoyed doing that. And then I heard Chris Deneff talking on a TED talk about mindful self-compassion. And there was another teacher that was doing an hour-long introduction. So I went along to that. And then from that, I was like, right, that's it. So I booked a course for myself as a participant and did it as a 5-day intensive. So I did it as a retreat. Really, really enjoyed, I guess, the experience and the kind of sense of set the settling of my nervous system, during that time, sense of connection with the other participants, the sense of, you're just like me. So this is this element of self-compassion, the common humanity. Actually, we're all very similar underneath it all. And then I did my initial course with a senior teacher called Tina Gibson, and she's wonderful, very funny, very down to earth. And then continued my journey. So she's been my self-compassion mentor, if you like, ever since the beginning. So that was probably about 10, maybe longer than that, 10 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
And why is self-compassion so important to you? Where does that fit into your life, and why is it so important to you? And then also, why is it so important to you for you to share this course and to facilitate such a thing and to help people with self-compassion?
Yeah, so for me, it keeps me sane. I'm a member of a family that has neurospiciness. So
Oh, yes.
yeah, neurospicy. But what that means is there's often lots of big emotions. Less so now, because my children are getting older, but particularly when they were growing up, lots of big emotions, and I had to find a way to be there with myself in order to be there for them. So this kind of U-turn, you know. So I often talk about in the course, you know, if the baby's crying and we're really, really stressed, and we pick up the baby and we're stressed, the baby's not going to calm down. And actually, we don't need to do much. If we can be with ourselves, the baby will calm. And it's the same, you know, with anyone. We tune in and we co-regulate with one another's nervous systems. We're actually really connected. This illusion of being kind of as indi these individual bags of skin. That's kind of slightly gross, isn't it? But we're all connected. So how do I be with you when you're having these big meltdowns? You know, at one point my daughter was having, gosh, you know, upwards of 6 or 7 meltdowns a day just because of sensory overwhelm, you know, all sorts of things. So learning to be here with myself and calm my own nervous system in order to be there for her. It's been a lifeline for me. And you know, I want to offer this gift to other people. It's all also really important for me because it keeps the practice alive in my life. You know, being it, feeling like I feel honored that I can teach it, and it keeps the practice alive for me. You know, through teaching it. It's one of the favorite parts of my job, I would say, you know, teaching this course. Yeah.
And you do it 2 or 3 times a year?
Yeah, I normally do two in-person courses in Bristol because I like bodies in the room and I like to feed people snacks. Very important part of self-compassion
Yes, we
is
liked our cup of tea and our
the
break, didn't we?
Yeah. And then I run one online, although I'm thinking I might do two next year because I might do them at different time zones with some, yeah, people from the States. I can't do an Australian friendly and USA
No.
friendly at the same time. So,
Trying to
yeah.
combine 3 time zones
Oh,
together
yes.
is challenging.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And for yourself, as you talk about your family life and actually self-compassion's been a lifeline for you, for anybody that is feeling like they're unable to get time for themselves, that might
Yeah.
be in a very similar situation for yourself, or somebody that has a highly stressful job and they just don't feel like they can get that space, they can't find that mindfulness to give themselves compassion. What advice or what can you say to those people, or what would you suggest for them to be able to somehow break this pattern that they're finding themselves not being able to get out of? Is there anything that you could speak about on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just be really curious. You know, I'd be curious about what's happening. So sometimes if people are never giving themselves space or working relentlessly, or perhaps they're always giving 120%, I'd be curious about what's happening for them inside. So I'm wondering whether there's a part of them that's kind of cracking the whip, or maybe there's a very strong critical part. And I'd be curious about beginning to get to know these parts, because often these parts are trying to protect us in some way.
Yes.
And when we understand and those parts have a chance to be heard, we can almost tuck them in, and we can start to think about, well, perhaps there's another voice that we can begin to grow, maybe a more compassionate voice. Another thing that comes up for me is Kristin Neff's work around fierce compassion. And so fierce compassion is about saying no and putting in boundaries. And rather than this happening from a place of fear, this happens from a place of love. So understanding, okay, so why is it that I can't say no? So what's driving that? What are the fears? If I was to say no, what might happen? Am I scared of being rejected? Am I scared of upsetting somebody? And often these things are old stories. We can often track these patterns way, way back. But also kind of thinking about self-compassion and the course, it is therapeutic, but it's not therapy. So what we're actually doing is working with how this shows up in the moment. Can we respond to this differently in the moment as it shows up? So that's a couple of things, but there's an idea that we all have the ability to have self-compassion. We all can access love. We all have
Absolutely.
this part in our brain. We all have an attachment system in our brain, so we can all feel that love. So I often talk about, well, what are the blocks and resistances? And that's where we're working. We're working with, okay, so what's the obstacles to somebody accessing that for themselves? So curiosity.
To bring in that sense of curiosity and going, oh, let's stop for a moment, actually. I've been living this lifestyle for the past year or 5 years, whatever it might be. My body's coming into breakdown point that I
Gosh.
can't cope with my children or I can't cope with my job. Actually, let's just stop and go, okay, I need to somehow break this. And that's where I guess curiosity comes into it. Okay, let's be curious about how can I start being kinder to myself? What things can I be putting in place to give me a bit of space? Or it might just be as simple as, okay, I don't sit down in the middle of my work day and give myself half an hour for a cup of tea. Or it might just be that, okay, I never rest at home, I'm constantly on the go, and I feel like I've got to take on all the jobs. Or maybe I might just need to ask my partner if my partner can help me out a little bit more, or anything. But yeah, I guess the curiosity comes around going, right, actually, this is where I've got to. But this isn't sustainable, this isn't manageable. So what can I do? And I guess the what can I do bit is the curiosity of the next phase.
No, absolutely. Because my sense is that it may be that people have tried that, but there's something driving that, isn't there? Because, if otherwise, I'm sure people will have made the changes already. People know when they're running at 100 miles an hour that this is not good and that they're going to move into kind of this burnout. But actually, people can't stop. So you might have a word with yourself and say, well, I've got to take time for myself. And it might be successful initially, perhaps, but then it soon creeps back in. So there's some deeper work that needs to be done, is my sense. And I guess the self-compassion course, through the practices and through the exercises, offer an opportunity to develop that curiosity, to really start to move into ourselves and be curious, start to be curious about what's actually happening.
And of course, we've just gone and done the 8 week course together. For anybody that would be interested in the 8 week mindful self-compassion course, could you give us a rundown of what that looks like? And also, who is that course for? I mean, I want to say that course is for everybody and anyone, and it's true, but could you just elaborate a bit more on that for us?
I would agree. I think it is for everybody. We are all human beings and we all have nervous systems that need kind of attention and attending to. Really, in a nutshell, the self-compassion course is about building resources to meet difficult emotions, to meet challenges, and therefore we could all do with that. There are programs that are specifically for different groups. So there are self-compassion for healthcare professionals. There's a specific course for that. There's also some specific courses for young people.
Yeah, that would
Self-com
be different, wouldn't it, for adults?
yeah, the
You speak to
self-compassionate
children in a
team.
different way.
Yeah, so that's great. So that's a slight adaptation. But really, yeah, the course begins with the first session where we just really start to understand what self-compassion is, and we talk about the definition. So Kristin Neff talks about self-compassion and having three elements: mindfulness, that we've talked about already, self-kindness, so the intention to step into kindness and warmth towards ourselves when we're having difficulty. And then the third element is this common humanity. So this sense of to be human is to struggle and to have difficulty. And actually, we think everyone out there is going about living these perfect lives. And of course, they're not. They're just like us.
No, yes.
So, these three aspects. So the session one is starting to understand and discover self-compassion. The second session, we have a whole session on mindfulness and start to explore that or reinvigorate people's practice. Often people have come to mindfulness before the course. Session three, we start warming it up and we start to practice loving kindness and really warming that space up. So we need space, and in that space, we can start to grow the warmth. Then we have a session working with our inner critic. So our inner critical part, which we were talking about earlier, meeting our inner critic, then starting to connect with a more compassionate voice. We have a session, it's called Living Deeply, which is about understanding our values and identity, and also starting to be in connection with one another and to be able to listen to one another deeply, co-regulate one another's nervous systems, and understand that from suffering we can have growth. So this idea of no mud, no lotus.
Yes.
We have a whole session then on meeting difficult emotions and lots of practice around that, including the most difficult emotion, which is shame, really understanding how
Yes.
shame connects us all. We all experience this. And then we have a session on challenging relationships and this idea that, hell is other people. So actually, being skillful in being with one another is really important. And then our final session, which is all about embracing our lives. So this is how we can connect with joy and happiness and the positive things that life has to offer. So that's a little rundown.
It's such a beautiful journey. It was
Oh.
so wonderful to help facilitate to a degree and hold space as and when I needed to in that, and also to be moving along the journey with you. And for me, it was a very fascinating journey because to begin with, I thought, oh God, I feel so honored and blessed that Leanne's asked me to
No.
help co-host and put people into meeting rooms and be there of support to anyone if anybody needed it and things. And at first, I was sort of questioning whether or not I was, let's say, qualified enough to go through that journey and be of that support for people. And the imposter syndrome comes in, the ego comes in, and as I went through that 8-week journey with you and the other participants who were just also lovely, I came to the very end of those 8 weeks going, wow, I didn't realize actually how much self-compassion I already do and how much self-compassion I'd already done. And so then as time went on, I went, oh God, I practiced this. And it's not that I don't need self-compassion in my life, but I didn't realize actually how little I needed it because I've done so much work on myself in the past that I've been going, wow, if I'd done this self-compassion course, let's say even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, oh, I was in such a different state, and my goodness, I would have had a very, very different journey. And I think that journey could have been quite turmoil. There could have been a lot that came up for me, but because I've gone and done a lot of work already through therapy and everything, I was blown away at how I actually went through that journey, just embracing it and learning from you and
Fabulous.
learning from other people as well. Learning from myself and learning different tools and techniques that I'd never heard of, never practiced before. But some of those tools and techniques, I realized that I've kind of done that already, but I just wasn't aware of that. So it was just a magical journey, and it was so wonderful to come through those 8 weeks for you. And yeah, it got to those end of the 8 weeks, and I just was taken back by how much information you provide in it and how you hold space and the way that the group actually come together so quickly, even though we're all strangers to one another. But it's really a beautiful dynamic to see a group of humans come together, open up and be raw, and to share their vulnerability moments, to express where their shame may come from, or to express what they feel about themselves, and to bring up maybe an example of something that happened in their childhood, something like that. So I feel it's a space where we all held one another, even though we're not the psychologist. We're our own therapist to a degree, aren't we? You know, as much as we can't, we sometimes us humans need a therapist or need a counselor, but through self-compassion and being mindful, we can be our own therapist in any given moment. And I think
Absolutely.
that's the biggest takeaway for me as well. You know, I can be my own therapist as and when I need it.
Absolutely. That we are the most important people for ourselves. Absolutely. And I'm just loving, Fliss, that kind of the course give you an opportunity to pause and reflect and think, God, look at all this I've done already. It's lovely to have those moments, actually. So I love that. And there is something about the course, you're saying holding space for one another. There is something about the structure of the course that really helps that to be safe. Like I said earlier,
Absolutely.
it really brings out the best in people. I think one of the most important things and is this sense of, well, this invitation to be in choice about everything. That, to be in choice, and that is really kind of that aspect is really repeated throughout. Really noticing, looking after yourself. If you don't want to take part, don't take part. If you don't want to do this, don't do this. And so this is letting the process and the end be the same. We're tuning in to our nervous system, our body. Gosh, where am I right now? Am I opening? Am I closing? What do I need? Do I need to participate in this? Do I not need to participate in this? So the process is live, moment by moment, we're doing, and the invitation is that to be continually checking in with that, which is mindfulness, isn't it? Warmth, mindfulness.
Absolutely. Yes. And there's absolutely no judgment around any of it. Like you mentioned, there's choice. If a person wishes to participate or if a person doesn't wish to participate, there's no judgment from yourself, from any other participant. It's simply we accept everybody for who they are in any given moment.
Come as you are. Come as you are. And wouldn't it be delightful if we could have that in every moment of our lives?
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I guess it all comes down to awareness, doesn't it? If people have the awareness, then that's how that ripple effect of
Yeah.
compassion towards others and self-compassion towards ourselves can happen. But if
Yeah.
you've not got that self-awareness around it, then there's less chance of that happening. But it's that ripple effect, isn't it? You know, the more courses that you provide, the more people that attend these courses, the more that's going to filter out to the rest of the world. And,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
we've come to the 8-week course with you, and that will have an impact on our own life. It's had an impact on my life, and I know it's had an impact on everybody else's in that course that we just went on. And their friends and family will start to notice a difference in them, how they're reacting, how they're responding. Oh, I'm curious, what have you been doing? You seem more calm, or you seem more collective, or you seem to be responding to things better, or whatever, or you're taking time out for yourself more regularly. That's really good. I could see that's benefiting you. So the more that people attend these sorts of courses, or the more that people get curious about self-compassion, that's just going to ripple out, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, this kind of sense of if we can come into ourselves first, then we are going to be in connection with other people in a different way. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That
Oh. Oh,
was lovely.
thanks, Fliss. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful having you there and reminding me to press record for the last 8 weeks and just being there to kind of like battle through working out the breakout rooms. And it's been a real sense of solidity having you there and really, really appreciate. Yeah, appreciate
Oh,
you.
love
When are
you,
you coming back
bless
to
you.
England?
Oh God, probably not until 2026, Leanne. It's yeah, we're God, it's
Well.
gonna be a bit of a journey for the next 2 years, I reckon. So
Yeah, well, enjoy.
I'm about 18 months away from applying for my parent residency. I would love to stay in touch with you, and I'm gonna dive more into self-compassion myself. And it was just so amazing to learn from you, and you've got so much knowledge and wisdom. And anybody who has listened to this, I highly recommend looking at Leanne's website, also checking out the 8-week mindful self-compassion course as well. And yeah, it's been wonderful to go through that journey with you. So look, we're rejoining in person when I'm next back in the UK, or if you're coming out to Australia, please let me know,
Yes,
because
of course.
you've lived and worked over here as well. So I feel like we
Love
both understand.
Australia.
Oh, it's
Love
great, isn't it?
Melbourne, Melbs.
Oh yes, Melps, yes. I feel like we both really, I think that was one thing that we both really connected with, wasn't it? That's where we hit our conversation off, is, you know, we both brought that whole thing of like our love for Australia, our love for Melbourne. We've both lived in the city, and we're both from the UK. We both lived in Bristol now. I know you're a true Bristolian, aren't you?
Not from birth, but
Not from
adopted.
birth.
Yeah,
Adopt your
adopted.
adopted Bristolian, you
Yeah.
know? So I'm from the southeast. Where are you from?
Derby originally.
Derby. So that's just like Midlands, isn't it? Would be
Midlands,
classed
yeah.
Midlands?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Midlands.
Yeah. So we've both experienced the world either side, this northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere as well. So
Yeah.
we will rejoin again. Thank
Oh.
you so much, Leanne. It's been so lush having you on, and thank you
Oh,
so
lots of
much for
love.
taking me through that journey as well, and I'll
Yeah,
speak to you real
welcome.
soon.
All right, take care.
You too. Mwah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What another amazing conversation I have just brought to you, or at least I hope I've brought you a really amazing conversation. For any of you who are interested in attending one of Leanne's 8-week mindful self-compassion course, head over to her website. I will be putting the link in the show notes here. And when you reach out to her, let her know that you've heard about her from this episode. For me personally, going through that 8-week workshop with Leanne, I was blown away, as I said in the episode, at just how much growth I have personally had in the last few years, and more so particularly in the last year, ever since I started meditating. And I know I rave about meditating, and I'm never going to stop talking about meditation. But these tools and techniques that Leanne provides in this 8-week course can be utterly life-changing for your own self-awareness, self-compassion, self-love, self-observation, and also self-worth. This course is in person in Bristol and also online, predominantly for the UK time zone as well as the Australian time zone. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please do leave a star rating, a review, send a message to myself, reach out to Leanne via her contact page as well. We're only a week away until the end of season one of Wholeness Podcast. I invite you to join me for episode 54 next Wednesday, which will take you to a solo cast by myself. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have an amazing weekend. And
as always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness Podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.